Good morning. This is Sunday, the 24th of May, 2020. And I'm outside Fermanagh recording this service. It's nice to hear the bird song in the background, which I'm sure the microphone will pick up. The microphone from my phone. I want to read a couple of readings here. Reading set for the day. The first one is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. Therefore, when they had come together, that's the disciples with Jesus, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. This is the end of the first reading. The second reading then is from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. And so ends the reading of God's word. Two passages here, the first in the Acts of the Apostles and the one in John 17. And Father God, I pray that you will take the reading of your word that I have just spoken, and you will make it come alive in our hearts. That it would be a seed that would sink into the hearts of everyone who hears this sermon, everyone who would take the time to go and look up those passages for themselves, that they indeed would learn from you and grow in you, and indeed perhaps learn more than what I share this morning of what you speak through me. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Acts chapter 1 is talking about Thursday, because Thursday is the day in the Christian calendar that's associated and recognized as the time of Jesus' ascension into heaven. And we read of that in Acts chapter 1, that he was taken up in the cloud, took him. And then the angels come along and tell the disciples, you know, this one that you have seen taken, you know, why are you standing here looking? Because he will come again. And so we have that idea of Jesus coming again. And yes, we're 2,000 years on, and we're still waiting for Jesus to come back again. And if he was coming soon then when it was written, he really is coming soon now, as it's 2,000 years later. And we should not become complacent and think that things aren't going to happen, because we know that they will. Because so many things, so many prophecies that were in the Bible have been fulfilled. And so this is another one that will be fulfilled in time. Thursday was the ascension. This is now Sunday. And next Sunday, whenever hopefully we'll come back again, and we're going to we're going to have a drive-in church next Sunday morning. And that Sunday will be Pentecost. In many ways, that's quite ironic that our first Sunday of attempting to come back after lockdown is on Pentecost, whenever the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh and has always been poured out and is still poured out for all who will receive the Holy Spirit with power. Quite appropriate and ironic that that's the first time we come together again after lockdown. But this is today, the Sunday just after the ascension. And I want to look at John 17. John 17, verses 1 to 11. Let me read again a couple of those verses, starting at the beginning. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then later on, it says in verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. That is powerful. Jesus is glorified in all who are his, in all who have eternal life. Everybody is familiar. Well, that's a presumption. What I was going to say is everybody's familiar with John chapter 3 and verse 16. It's a popular verse. But what it says is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And what John 17 then is telling us, Jesus is explaining what this eternal life is. Because life, we all live. Because if you're hearing this, you're alive. And I know that seems funny, but you are, you're alive. You're living flesh and blood. But you will live forever, even though all of us who are alive will die someday. And again, that sounds like a contradiction. How can we be alive forever and yet die? Well, the thing is, we live in this life in flesh and blood bodies. But these flesh and blood bodies will end, and there'll be a funeral. And at the funeral, what I would say, or another minister may say, is earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And the point is that our bodies return to the earth from whence they were made, referring back to Genesis when God took the dust to form Adam and make him out of the earth. From the earth we came, and from the earth to the earth we will return. But that's only talking about our bodies. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about the complete person, because it says, may God sanctify you completely, spirit, soul, and body. And it is there that we find out that we're made up of three parts. Three parts. And again, the number three is ironic, because God has revealed himself to us as being three persons. One God, but made up of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in a similar way, we are made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. That's what makes the complete person. The body is the bit that you can feel, like I'm patting my stomach and my chest. And you may do that too, because you can see your hands and your feet. And so what I've mentioned just there is I've patted my body, which is my flesh and blood, but then I've talked about what I can see, which is one of my senses. And our senses, as it were, come out of our soulish realm. So there I have the body that I've talked about feeling. And I've mentioned part of the senses, which is part of our soul. But then there's our spirit and our spirit man. And I've explained this before in particular sermons. And again, if you're looking at the website, alancapper.com, just to hear this sermon, on the first page of the website, there's a video. And if you click that video, it'll go through to a teaching on spirit, soul, and body. And the teaching is done using like cartoons. And it's a very good explanation. But that's just by the by. So spirit, soul, and body is made up of three parts. The body is the bit that I feel. Our soul partly is to do with our senses. And the spirit is the part that connects with God. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We cannot connect with God with our flesh. We can't even connect with God with our minds. The part of us that connects with God is our spirit, and our spirit is inside our bodies. Three parts. But as I say, go look at that video and that will explain it more fully. But as I say, it's quite ironic. Three parts. Similar, that God reveals himself as being one person, but yet three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here in John 17, we have Jesus talking to the Father, and he's talking about asking the Father how he will look after us, those who believe in Jesus. And he's talking about eternal life and what that is to those he'll give. And verse 3 in particular, he says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. The whole point of why Jesus came is so that we could be with him forever. And I said that we will all live forever. Our bodies, yes, will return to the ground, but the real us is our spirit. The part of us that is able to worship God. And so in a very real way, I am a spirit. I have a soul, which is my mind, my will, my emotions, my senses. And it's not complete in that. And I live in a body. But this body will pass away. But when I die and I go to be with the Lord, I will get a new body, which will be immortal, that will live forever. But our bodies just carry us around so that we can live in places. And so, I'm a spirit. But because I'm born again, the spirit that I have is identical with Jesus. Because I've believed in Jesus, I've received his spirit into my spirit. Because I've received eternal life, I am his. And through having eternal life, I can know the Father. I can know Jesus. Obviously, I know Jesus because I've believed in him in the first place. But through knowing Jesus, I can know the Father. And Jesus said this in John 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he finishes that verse by saying this, no one comes to the Father except through me. And so to truly know the Father, I've got to come through Jesus. But coming through Jesus does not mean that I always have to come through Jesus to know the Father. No. But when I come to Jesus and I accept Jesus as my Saviour, not just the Saviour of the world, but my own personal Saviour. And whenever I believe and trust in him as Lord of my life, because he's God and I'm not, when I've done that, I can go to the Father directly. And yet at the same time, again, Jesus spoke about this in John 14. He said, you know, if you've seen me, talking about Jesus himself, you have seen the Father. And so we have to be careful and wise that we do not try and make them out to be different people. Yes, they're different persons in the sense that that's the way God revealed himself to us as being. But when you spend time with the Father, you are spending time with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But you may have in your mind's eye that you're coming to Daddy God. But equally as well, when you come to Jesus, you are seeing the Father and you are seeing the Holy Spirit. And finally, the third part of the Trinity, the third part of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. Because when you're mindful of walking through life and trying to live day by day, you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you. But because the Holy Spirit lives in you, so does the Father and so does the Son. And so to a certain extent, it's in our minds and it's to do with our personalities and the way that we deal with people and the way that we identify who we're talking to. And yet, regardless of which part of the Godhead we're thinking of or talking to, we're talking to God, Almighty God. Almighty God who created the whole universe that we live in, who created the earth that we're living on and in, who creates everything that we can see that's growing naturally. Obviously, there's man-made things out of that, but even the man-made things are only there because God made them in the first place. Because man has not been able to make anything that God hadn't first planned in the first place, the materials. So Jesus saying, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. The gospel, in a nutshell, is knowing him. That's it. And I can imagine and hear and feel people going, no, there's more to it than that. You've got to do this, and this. And to a certain extent, yeah, you will do this, and this. But the whole point is about knowing him. How much easier life would be if we could just stop and rest in the knowledge and the fact that Almighty God wants to know me. Almighty God wants to know you. And in knowing me or in knowing you, he wants me to know him. He wants you to know him. And to allow that thought, that idea, that concept to just sit and to settle in your mind, in your heart. To allow that thought, that idea, that concept to bring you peace.
and rest. Because right now, Jesus is seated at the right-hand side of the Father in heaven. And because he's seated, he's at rest. And he's at peace. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. And maybe we would interpret that or say that differently. As he is, so are we meant to be. And that is true too. But as he is, so are we in this world. And he's not running around like a headless chicken, like we so often do. But he's seated. And he's at peace. Because remember, the last thing he did on the cross was to say, it is finished, before he gave up his spirit to the Father. He came to do all that he had done. And then when he was resurrected from the dead and from the grave, we find it at the end of Matthew's Gospel, where it says, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go. And yes, hear what I'm saying. We do tend to get caught up in the therefore go. But before he says therefore go, he says all authority and in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus has done everything. Everything that needs to be done as regards sin, as regards healing, as regards prosperity, as regards eternal life. He has done everything. It is finished. And so he is seated on the right-hand side of the Father, at rest, in peace, full of joy, love, all the fruit of the Spirit is in him. And those who believe in him and have trusted in him have all those same fruit of the Spirit in them, in you, in me. How difficult is it for us to stop and just to rest and to be at peace as he is? Because that's what eternal life is. And then, yes, to do things from that place. To go and do things, mindful of the fact that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Because when we start with him and we are at peace and love and rest in him, all these other things will flow from that. Yes, you'll find yourself doing things, but you're doing things because of him, rather than trying to do things for him. If only we could stop doing that and just be in rest and peace and assured of his love. Because he saw us coming. Before we were in our mother's womb, he knew we were coming. And even then, he loved us. And he still loves us now. How much more he loves us because we have responded to his love and are born again and have and live in eternal life. And because we have and live in eternal life, we know him, and we know the Father, and we know the Holy Spirit. And we are at peace. And we are at rest. In Jesus' name. Amen.